Blog Talk Radio.
Today's sponsor of Southern Sense is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken, audible entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Southern Sense.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room or grab your phones. Call in and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time, yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, welcome back to another exciting episode here on Southern Sense. And we're not only on Blog Talk Radio, but we're in five additional markets, such as Pundit Press with my friend Dan Butcher, Kinetic Hi-Fi, soon to be the Fix FM out of Charleston, South Carolina, Patriot Radio Network, TeaPartyCommunity.com. And if you're on Facebook and are getting frustrated, check out TeaPartyCommunity.com and tell them I sent you. And also the first talk radio station here online, which carried the show, Ghost Fighter Radio, also another fantastic Blog Talk host. You also find us on iTunes and Stitcher. And I got that all in on one breath. How do you like that one?
I am very impressed, Danny. Oh, boy, do we have a heck of a show today. This should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are, normally people here do a dedication to a single individual or to a group of fallen heroes. But today's dedication actually is going to be to the 40 veterans who in the Phoenix VA lost their lives early, to the more than 40 victims who premature deaths were directly connected to the Veterans Administration scandal. We don't know the true numbers. We do know it's not restricted only to the Phoenix VA. While many veteran hospitals do wonderful work, there are still others whose directors and management see our heroic veterans as only numbers, as statistics. To them, they are nameless and faceless. To us, they are not. They are not mere numbers or statistics. They have names. They have faces, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews, sons, daughters, and grandchildren. They are important and special to us. Their lives meant something to us before they gave all to protect and serve our great nation, these United States of America. But they returned to us. That they returned was a godsend. Many returned broken in body and mind. For some, the wounds were invisible. They were promised that the VA was there to help them heal, and they were failed miserably. So miserably that it cost them their life and what precious time they had left to spend with those who loved them. We grieve for them and for those who they left behind. We will not forget, and we will continue to honor their fighting spirit and sacrifice with this dedication. Today's show is being dedicated to these veterans, but sadly, we have to say, 20 to 23 veterans per day lose their lives. And today, in Virginia, in Waithville, Virginia, another veteran took his life because the VA failed him. So we include him. We include, let me get his name here so I don't do this wrong, Kevin Keller, who served along aboard the USS Enterprise. And to them, we dedicate the song, My Name is America, by Todd Allen Herndon. We love them and miss them. God bless them all.
In the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend, because my name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be I stand for my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand for. Don't tread on me.
Herndon. My name is America. And right now I got poor Dan running around like a one-armed paper hanger, you know, crazy as all crazy, as busy as all heck, along with Kel, my two co-hosts today. So I want to welcome aboard Kel and Dan. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi, doing
hi, Dan.
Hey, Kel, how are you doing? We're doing great today. We're looking forward to this show.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great show today.
This is not so anymore.
It's a Kel and Dan show.
It's a good thing you kept me muted while the song was playing, because I was singing it at the top of my lungs, and I didn't want the microphone to pick up and scare the living daylights out of the listeners.
Well, Kel, I was singing along too, and my daughter came in here and just gave me the strangest look. I just had this look on her face that was priceless.
My dog left the room.
Oh,
no, there she goes again.
Well, anyway, we've got ourselves, you know, a great show. We've got a lot of fantastic hosts that are going to be joining us in our discussion. Just about everyone is here on the line. And the last time we ever had such an ambitious project where we had so many people joining in the conversation is when the House seat here in the state of South Carolina had a special election. And 16 Republicans were running in the primary. Two of them dropped out, so we were left with 14. Out of the 14, we had all 12 on the show at the same time. And it, like I said, it's like a one-armed paper hanger trying to do several different jobs. And it was interesting. It was like herding cats that we were talking about.
No.
But what I want to let everyone know is that we're going to be bringing them on. We're going to be bringing up parts of the subjects and we'll bring them on so each one can comment on it, and we'll probably get a couple of group conversations going. So don't be upset if you hear us muting you so that someone else can get in on a point here. So I want to welcome everyone. We've got, let's see, we've got Dan Butcher, of course, my co-host from Pundit Press, and Kel Fritzy from Red Fox Radio, also my co-host. My neighbor and friend Dana Smearman. Conservative Watch Hour. His show is starting up again this Sunday. But Dana, why do you always have to do it when I'm going to be in church? I guess he doesn't want me to call into the show. And then we've got Josh Bernstein from The Josh Bernstein Show. I don't see Ken in the lineup yet. Ken McClinton, who is the exceptional conservative, should be joining us. Jason Miller called in 10 minutes early. God bless this man from the Evan Miller Report. Also on Pundit Press, Scott Osborne from Contending for Truth Radio, carried on Pundit Press, and back to radio, and we missed him so much, Doc White, who not only called in early, he called in 2 days early.
That's funny.
So I'm going to open it up so each person can say hello. So good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon from hot San Diego.
Hi, Jason.
And we'll say good afternoon then to Scott Osborne.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Broadcasting live from the Dallas Museum of Art, where we're having a beautiful 70-degree weather.
Oh, fantastic. It's something like about in the 80s here in South Carolina, and we're waiting for a thunderstorm to come through. So if you hear some boomers, I'm not ducking. I'm going to keep on going. So let's bring on aboard Josh Bernstein. Good afternoon, Josh.
Hey, how's everybody doing? It's rainy and stormy here in Arizona, but it's still about 103 degrees in the shade.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
We've got a caller here that we don't have a name tag on, so Erico 207, you're on the air live with Southern Sense and your host, Annie. Who am I speaking to? Erico 207? Yes, you're on the air live.
Hi, this is Sergeant Davis, retired from the Army. I want to thank you for running me on your blog, Death of the American Fighting Soldier. I've been going to the VA since 1986. I've been misdiagnosed, and now I'm dying from stage 4 melanoma, which was just diagnosed 3 months ago. The VA knew about it 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm putting up right now in the chat room a petition that you have that people can go to and make a donation to your cause, because your medical bills for your treatment right now are special and they're not covered, as I understand, under the VA. So I've been trying to post this up, and I noticed that when I started doing it, there was like only about $370 in there. When I looked last, you had over $500, but you need a lot more than that. So everyone, I'm putting it up in the chat room, please. It is also on the show page. So those additional hosts, I want you to please get a hold of me and Sergeant Davis so we can help this man. And I'm also making a notation of your phone number, sir, so I can give you a call later on, and maybe we can hook you up with some of these other hosts and help your fund drive really get off on the ground. It is a very – you broke my heart when I heard you on another show. And I said, I've got to do something. I cannot sit around and just do nothing. So thank you, sir, for your service.
I appreciate that.
God bless you.
Thank you. So it's very well in depth. What I plan to do is I've gone to the VA, and when I was diagnosed with melanoma stage 4 with tumors in both lungs, chest, my ear, my neck, next to my jugular vein, I asked them, I said, how did I get to stage 4? When I came in here 10 years ago, told you I had a civilian take out a cancer node in my leg. And you took it. You told me, yeah, we were aware of that. But I never had a follow-up. I never had a referral. So now, 10 years later, I'm dying because of your mess-up. Now, I tried to take these guys to court. I tried to take them to federal court. I hired the best lawyers in the world. The day before trial in Bangor, Maine, my lawyer says, Mr. Davis, you don't understand politics. We need to drop out of this. A Dr. Gellinger from the VA, who was going to be my witness because I was going to subpoena them anyway, called me almost crying, said, Dave, if you take this to court and I'm a witness, the VA says I'll never work in a VA hospital again, I'll lose my home, and I may lose my family. That's how far in depth this is. And if you can't, right now Congress is passing our bill, which is great, but it's only a start. This is to fire senior administrators. But the VA people that have been misdiagnosed and never referred, such as Arizona that died, and I'm going to say it on the air, is bullshit. And there's no way that we can come back and get these doctors ticked, the bad ones. Now, the VA system is a very good system for veterans, but it needs to be cleaned, and the house needs to be cleaned out. My plan, my sons and daughters, by the way, put up the website for me to collect money. Currently, Congressman Jolly from St. Peter's, Florida, helped pass that bill. He's trying to get me into a TIL program, which is going to be successful. But the TIL program may kill me. That's what I've been told. We've asked the VA to help pay for this stuff. No word. They don't want anything to do with it. They're very, very quiet. So my plan is, and my kids want to do it, is start a march from the original VA hospital in Togus, Maine, that Lincoln built for the veterans, and do the march until I drop, because I'm going to drop anyway, and deliver my body to Congress and say, please, don't do this to the 25-year-olds. Don't do it to the 19-year-olds. We're not asking or begging. What we're trying to do is good health care. That's it. Don't tell us we're going to die and tell us it's our fault. So that's primarily the gist, is what do you do and where do you go? So my children want to make a point and deliver my body to Congress, flag Drake, and say, please don't do this anymore.
It's a shame that you have to give your life to get this all put up forward. And so many of you brave guys have been ignored. 23 a day commit suicide. There's somewhere between 150 to 200,000 homeless. And a VA, this one gentleman who killed himself today in front of a VA clinic because he couldn't get the medication. He just could not take the pain anymore. And my heart is breaking, and like I said, what I can do to help you raise funds, I will do. There is a link on the show page if anyone is on my Facebook page There's a link there. I just spent $40 of my own money promoting it. I think that promotion might end today, so I'm going to try to extend it. If they go to www.gofundme.com/ all lowercase letters, B-L-T-O-L, B-L-T-O-L, and the number 8.
I would like
a link up
also
in the
to let you know that if we do this march that my children are arranging, this is for everyone, Republicans, Democrats, white, black, yellow, red, that want to see a change. And it's not just for me. This is going to take notice that I'm hoping that Congress will take notice and say, please don't ever do this again. And thank you for your donation, by the way.
No, my honor to do that. Sergeant Davis, let me bring on our last two talk hosts that haven't introduced themselves, and then I'll let them ask you questions as we go around. The underground professor I introduced, Doc Wythe. Good afternoon, Doc.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
All right. And let's bring on my friend and neighbor and fellow talk show host, Dana Smearman. Good afternoon, Dana.
Well, good afternoon, all. Great to be with you.
Hello, Dana.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go up and down the line. Let's start off with Jason. Jason, I would like to introduce you to Sergeant Dave Davis.
Good evening, Sergeant Davis. This is terrible to hear the way the VA clinic and our government is treating you. You go overseas, you fight overseas, put your life on the line. Your family doesn't see you for 12 to 18 months, sometimes longer if your deployment is extended, and this is the way our government treats you. Well, you say that they're going to probably carry your body in front of Congress. God forbid if that happens. What is your reaction to yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passing the $16.5 billion package for the VA clinic? Is it too little, too late at this point, or what is your reaction to it?
My real feelings about that, the money's great. Adding the doctors and nurses are great. But if you don't change the system, and our new VA head has not the authority to fire these people and let them continue, we're going to have the same thing. You throw all the money you want at the VA, but if we do not change the system, it's going to be the same 10 years from now. And the next war will be your sons and daughters, my sons and daughters.
What do you think needs to be done? You're a soldier. You've been out in the field. You see what's happening to soldiers. What changes do you think need to happen within the Veterans Administration right now? We've clearly seen the mismanagement here within the administration, that they're more concerned about their paychecks in the VA than taking care of the soldiers. What needs to be done, sir?
What broke my heart is in Arizona when people were getting bonuses on dead veterans. That really broke my heart. Must have broke yours to hear that people were getting veterans for misappointments and killing veterans. Total accountability. I mean, it's not just for the management. It's also for the doctors. But the doctors' hands are tied, too. These guys, as I understand it, and I've investigated, doctors can only do so much according to what administration says to them. I have a friend of mine who is chief of staff, colonel retired from Brooks Army Hospital. And he says, in the Army, if I have a soldier, I, as a doctor, can do anything I need for his medical care and to save his life. He told me, I will never work in the VA. He says, I was going to try it. But they told me exactly what I could give to that veteran and not to do that veteran. It's easier to drug a veteran than it is to cure a veteran. And that's what we need is most veterans are saying, hey, don't drug us up. How about curing us? How about getting down to the nitty-gritty? There's no reason for me to die from stage 4 of melanoma. You don't go from 0 to 4. Now, these guys in Arizona had the same thing. They had cancers. And the problem with me is I'm living. And as long as I live, I'm going to do everything I can to change it. I'm not well-liked by the VA, by the way.
I would imagine that you are not. Let me bring this talk to host Scott Osborne with Contending for Truth Radio. Good afternoon, Scott, and I'd like to introduce you to Sergeant Dave Davis, a real hero.
Well, and I thank you for your service, Sergeant Davis. You know, it's an atrocity, and it's been an atrocity for a long time, how we've treated our veterans, how we've treated our men and women who have put their lives in danger. You know, we have a list that we couldn't even count since the founding of this country, of men and women that have fought for our freedom, the freedom that we enjoy today doing Blog Talk Radio. The freedom that we've got to speak freely about these things, the freedom that you've got to protest and to make a noise about this. I'd like for you to just comment on some of the more details on what kind of feedback you're getting from different people. I don't really understand how anybody in any position, no matter where they are in life, no matter what side of politics they are on, could not stand behind you and help you fight. But you're getting obstacles from this. What kind of actual obstacles are you running into?
Well, first I'd like to mention, I'll get to the obstacles in 1 minute. I would like to discuss heroes. I don't consider myself a hero. I've been to Vietnam. I have the Bronze Star. I retired from the military. I loved it. I don't PTSD. Yes, I've wrapped up my own friend. And I'd like to mention his name, Carol Jackson. He's on the wall. But what happens is, as heroes, and you're a hero with the radio station, is us young people with the Bronze Star do not even consider ourselves a hero. I went in for one purpose, so you could do this radio program, that we fought for a constitution that is disappearing. And people like you, myself, and others need to stand up. That's why I want to do this march, not for myself, but for the whole damn country. If it takes my body for people to listen, that's what I'll do. But the second thing is, and what was the question on the second one here?
Let me bring him back. Scott, what was the second part of the question?
What are some of the kind of the specifics that you're running into as obstacles in the fight you're fighting? And, you know, trying to bring awareness to this. Like I said, everybody should be standing behind you, but there are some people standing in front of you. What are they doing exactly? How are they creating the obstacles? And basically, how can we help to move them?
Well, that's a good one. First of all, people are taking notice. My name has been mentioned in Congress. Congressman Jolly from St. Petersburg, Florida, he's taking the first hand. Let me tell you, this is the kind of guy, a whistleblower, lost his job from the VA in St. Petersburg at Bay Pine. Congressman Jolly went to the administrator's office and said, I'm camping here and I'm not leaving until you hire him back. Now, what kind of congressman do you want in office? He's the guy. He's brand new, Republican. That's the guy I want. But anyway, as far as the radio programs, I've only done one, and people are coming forward. But they're in the background right now. Moffitt wants to do a study on me for the TIL program, but the VA has refused to pay anything to refer me or to recommend me. But that's okay with me. I've actually yesterday sent a letter to the administrator in St. Pete by email stating, now is your time to be the hero. Now is your time to help a veteran that's dying, and it's in your hands. But I haven't heard from them, and I'm pressuring, but I want to pressure them. I'm not going to live, but if I can just make one statement in saying, stop what you're doing. But as far as people helping me out, it's your guys, Governor LePage. He's got my paperwork for the VA in Togus, Maine. But this goes deeper than that. In 1986, when I got out, within 1 year, because I had pissed people off in the VA, like a lot of us veterans do, I was too loud. I was permanently disabled due to service-connected disability. 1 year later, the VA made me zero. It took me 10 years to get my benefits back. Then they gave me E. coli at the spinal cord. Then they said, well, you must have stuck a needle in T7 area. T7 area is impossible to reach. So I tried to sue them. By politics, that was disappeared. So now that I have the melanoma stage 4, my fight is to bring the fight to them. And I'm tired of veterans fighting and told that they're liars and no good. We have a standard saying within the VA with veterans, and you're going to hear this all the time. You go into the VA and you say, listen, I'm really ill. I'm in pain. I need help. All of a sudden, you're surrounded by security, and you're saying, you know what? You're a little loud. You know you're in pain. You need some help. So let's escort you to your car and give you that help. That's how we've been treated.
It is an absolute shame, and I'm so sorry that you've gone through all of this. You know, unfortunately, they look at you as a number and a statistic, and they look at you as job security rather than as a human being. And what we should have is priority hiring at the VA should be
veterans. I'm laughing because it is job
veterans.
Security.
It is. But we should be hiring veterans for those jobs, those pencil pushers, paper, you know, counters, whatever they are, the nurses, the physician assistants, the technicians should all be veterans first, because who better knows what a veteran needs than a fellow veteran? We should not be staffing this.
You have a lot of doctors that won't work there because of what the statement you just made. Their hands are tied, even if they're veterans or they're not veterans. I think what's happening now, what's passed in Congress and what our legislation has done, and the Republicans in the House and some of the Democrats, this is a first move, and this is a great move. And now's the time to continue that. I never, ever want to see a veteran lose his benefits because he was too loud or not get the care because he was too loud. I don't get it. Where does that veteran go if he's too loud? Where does he go?
And unfortunately, your medical records follow you no matter where you go. So what that VA clinic does or hospital, what they write in their folder goes to, even if you go to a private doctor, and the private doctor then looks at you as if you've got four eyes. Let me bring on Josh Bernstein. Josh, good afternoon, and I'd like to introduce you to Sergeant Dave Davis, and I don't care what he says. In my eyes, he is a hero.
You just took the thunder right out of my mouth there. That's the first thing I was going to say, is that he is a hero, and whether he wants to say he's a hero or not, he is. That would be the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is this problem is systemic. Obviously, it's in Arizona, it's in Chicago, it's in Indianapolis, it's in Texas. It's completely through and through. And it's another great example of how big government fails the most important members of our society, which is you folks that go out there and fight for our right to say
1%.
What we can say and do what we can do.
I'm on the radio station waiting for them to call. Are you listening to me now?
Okay.
Am I up?
Yeah.
All right. Hang on a second. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Another thing I was going to say is not only is this problem through the military, but it's overall through sequestration, through military cutbacks. Look, I don't believe in government spending, but when it comes to the military, I feel as though you cannot spend enough, and you folks need to be taken care of in a much better fashion. I believe, and again, I'm not asking anybody else to sign off on this because I'm pretty controversial as it is, but what I believe is this was part of a retaliation by this administration against the World War II veterans coming into Washington when the monuments were closed during the sequestration. I believe that they know that you folks are still around, that you're going to be the antithesis of what they want to do to this country. You're going to fight as best that you can. And so what they want to do is they want to, and I hate to say this, eliminate you folks, because they want a new generation of people that are coming up that are going to be more in line with, you know, this government and how this country is going. And that is sick and sad.
You are totally, totally correct.
I know I'm correct. And again, I'm not trying to be correct to outshine. I'm telling you the truth. One of the things that I do on my show is I cut through all the bullshit. And I know we're on Blog Talk. We're not on regular radio, so I can say that. But I cut through it all. I do. I cut through it all, and I pinpoint everything, and I say, look, this is what's going on. No one's going to say that. No one's going to go out there and say these things because they're afraid. They may think it, and let's hopefully they all do think it, but they're not going
to
go out there and say,
I have nothing to lose. This is why
you have nothing to lose. Exactly.
I want to do this march. I want people involved, and when I do it, my sons and daughters, they range from 16 to 32, have arranged this, and they've done the blog site. They're the ones who won't let this rest, or Dad. And you know what? They're saying, Dad, you have a voice, and if you're going to die, you're going to be heard. So I got to – they're heroes too. Everyone who's doing this. But our republic is in danger, just like you said. In 1979, I couldn't get batteries from my missile carriers to get out of the motor pool. As soon as Ronald Reagan took out over, I wrote a personal letter as a buck sergeant to Ronald Reagan saying, "Sir, could you please help me with batteries?" The day Ronald Reagan got that, I got a letter, and I was in the general's office. "Please don't write to him again. There's a semi-trailer outside with batteries for you, Mr. Davis." Sergeant Davis. To bring our military back together. But that's what kind of guy I am. I'm not afraid to do that. And the VA has tried to shut me up, but I'm a loud spokesperson, and I do not intend to stop. My children won't let me stop. They don't want to go in the military. It's, you got to remember, only it's less than 1% that are first responders in case we get attacked. We need that equipment. We need that ammunition. And you know what? We need the faith of the American people to fight. The young people don't want to join nowadays. They're afraid. And if you say something on the line now, they discharge you. How many generals have been fired by President Obama because they spoke out? I mean, we're in a deep crisis. It's not the VA, just the VA. We're in a complete deep crisis because everybody wants a free phone. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, Sergeant Davis, I'm going to bring you the
next. How did they vote? Because they got a free phone.
Exactly. Okay. Now, Sergeant Davis, I'm going to bring in the next host that we have here.
I just like to say, Mr. Bernstein did absolutely, he said it right to the point. We're in trouble.
He does. Josh does. That he does. The next toast I'm bringing aboard is the underground professor. And I apologize, Professor. I gave you the wrong name. For some reason, you and Doc White have underground, and I keep on getting confused because I'm slightly dyslexic. So sorry about that, Mike. I bring in Mike Jones, the underground professor. Now, Mike, he's absolutely correct. A lot of this, you know, you see it first in the VA where the care for decades has not been good, and it's been getting worse and worse and worse. But at the same time, we see what's happening in the military, where you now have transgenders in uniform marching in gay parades. You've got now same-sex marriage openly in the military. You have military serving out in combat, if they're reading a conservative book, being disciplined, where they cannot display a religious crucifix or anything. We see our military being attacked, the generals being let go, those of the officer class that served in combat are being told, while they're on the battlefield, when you get off the battlefield and we send you home, we don't need you anymore, you're fired. It's been systemic throughout the whole system. They've gone after the entire military from active to retired.
The election is coming up, and we need to change our country. And we all need to get out and vote, not to say we're going to vote, but to get out there and vote. And these congressmen, be it Democrat or Republican, if they do not want to turn this around, vote them out of office.
Well, Mike, go ahead. Would you like to respond?
Well, first off, I want to say I'm a little disappointed that you got our names wrong, because for a second I was happy to find someone else is dumb enough to call 2 days early besides me. So, I didn't catch the sergeant's name. For some reason, my cell is
Dave Davis.
Good. Dave Davis.
His name is...
I'm Gunny Jones. You can call me Gunny, Sergeant.
All right. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for your service. Now... You know, I think you'd agree with me that when we're both ex-military now, that we knew we might die for our country. Would you say that was safe to say? We didn't want to, but we knew it could happen.
That's correct. And what did you join for?
I joined for the women. Yeah, for the women.
Yes. I don't know what club you went to.
Yeah, well, there's nothing better than a Marine woman, you know, a woman bigger than you, better mustache than you.
You guys do look good in your uniform.
No, I was actually Air Force. My call sign was Gunny. But
the guys on the front line are Marines, Army, Air Force, Navy, whoever's in uniform, those are the guys who die. And it's only 0.1% that protects this country.
That's right.
So
I joined because of Ronald Reagan.
Fabulous.
Well, anyway, what bothers me is it'd be one thing if the country had no money. and we couldn't afford to take care of the vets. You know, that would just be another burden on us. But, well, I have a problem with all the billions going to these illegal Mexicans coming and other Hispanics coming across our borders. And they find soldiers that are in prison that are wanting transgendered operations. We have money for them. But people like you and myself, when we go to the VA for help, are turned away, mostly because of budget. And I have a problem with that.
I have a problem with the influx of children coming over and governors not being notified. I have a real, real problem with that. I have a problem with executive orders and probably trying to make all the illegal U.S. citizens with a stroke of the pen.
Right. Now let me ask you a question. You said you have kids. Are they wanting to follow your footsteps and go into the uniformed services? Or
they will not.
They've been discouraged by
they,
this. You see,
they are very
that's
discouraged.
The problem. Right. That's where and we're having
not
a problem.
It's not just them. Take a look at, listen, I've got conservative daughters and sons. I've got two of them in college working. I've got a 16-year-old. She's in the Maine School of Science and Math. These are bright individuals. They tell me, Dad, this country, how do we take it back? We're really the majority, but why is the minority taking over the country? And what is it if we don't say anything in school or agree, we're chastised? And they see what's going on in the military and what's happened to me. They go, why would we join? And I tell them, because it's that hold the Constitution. If we don't have that, we will be attacked, and I have no doubts about that, because our current president has weakened us beyond Jimmy Carter, and he's continuing to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the absolute truth. Let me bring on, we have a late caller coming in, but my neighbor, Dana Smearman, who's been sitting here so patiently. Dana, good afternoon. And you've got the Conservative Watchtower. Allow me to introduce you to Sergeant Dave Davis, and I still say he's a hero.
I couldn't agree more. It's a distinct honor to speak to him. And I had the, I won't say a privilege, I had the interesting experience of working in the VA medical system for a while. And I'd like you to speak to, sir, if you could.
They're
let the
great
people know out there exactly the kind of bureaucracy, the kind of mess that you vets have to go through just to get basic care. It's not like when you go to a hospital here in Beaufort where we live, where you walk in an emergency room and you get where you want. Kind of speak to what they put you through. The mindless paperwork, the maze of bureaucracy. Please let people know what they do to you.
Well, that's undaunting. First of all, the paperwork. First of all, the people at the VA are outstanding individuals. Their hands, some of them need to be tied, but some of them need to be untied because they really feel the veterans are first. And that's plain and simple. But if you file a claim, which I just did because of melanoma stage 4, and as you know, if you have tumors in your lungs and your neck and all that, they rate it because of Agent Orange. Well, I just got my letter back. I submitted it 2 months ago. Sorry, Mr. Davis, but stand in line and get others before you. And I got a congressman that put immediate processing because this guy don't have long to live, which is fine by me. But that's the standard answer that we get. Or we'll get a denial. And a denial is the hardest thing to do because we're going to come back, provide more evidence, which they already have. And that's what I just told them in my paperwork, going, listen, guys, your doctors made the evaluation, not me. So you see, it's like a crutch 22. Is they hold you off, they hold you off. And in my case, I'm better off dead because my voice is still talking. But it's undaunting. I can handle it. But take the new guy that's 25 years old that can't handle it, that's got 3 kids. Just recently, last year, I think it was, a Marine got shot in the head in Togus, Maine. 25, 26 years old. A couple of daughters married. They canceled his benefits because he missed an appointment. He went out target practice. The police went after him. He dropped his gun. They still shot him in the head. Why? You know, I don't get it. They had a guy come in with a penknife in St. Petersburg last year into the emergency room screaming, I need help. Rather than take him down, they shot him dead. You don't think veterans are afraid to come into the VA?
we're on, it's like, that's the last thing we want to do. And the last thing we want to do is file a claim because we know we're going to be denied.
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, doing the research and everything on this, and for the last week or so where I have been pushing your petition, which I want everyone to go into the chat room and on our webpage and click on it. It's also up on my Southern Sense webpage, and I've been posting it in Tea Party Community, and I believe I stuck it up on Google also, but I'll renew those links also. This was just a few days ago. A gentleman has his mother. She's in the hospital, nursing care. She's got dementia, and she's had dementia now for the last 2 years. And when he had to put her in this facility, he applied for VA benefits because his father was a vet. And they gave him such a runaround that they claimed he never filed. The paper was lost, and when he did get it into them, they said pages were missing. And
that's
finally,
standard.
When...
Standard.
Yeah, and then when the VA scandal started to break and your story started to hit the news, he said a light bulb went up in his head. It turns out that what was happening is the mail that was going out about the claims, you know, telling you about, you know, they received the claim, they're processing it, or they're missing this piece of paperwork, the mail was returning back to the VA in boxes upon boxes, not opened. Claims and letters to the VA were going to the facilities and ending up in just shoved in boxes, unopened, and then people were shredding this mail without even opening it to look to see what the mail was about. In March of 2012, the return mail facility in Philadelphia was 18,000 envelopes deep.
My concern is this. What happened to those people that got the mail? Are they still working there? That's the VA standard answer. These people still stay there. So you're dealing with the same people. You're not changing the system. I want to see them fired, and I want to see people taking their places that need these jobs and that want these jobs. And there's a lot of veterans out there that would love a VA job and a VA retirement.
Absolutely. And we've got our last host that has called in. Oops, I accidentally hit the wrong part of his mic. Let me bring him back on.
I'm sorry for taking up your whole show. I just wanted to call in for 10 minutes, but I appreciate...
Oh, no. No problem. This is great. This is what people have to hear. They have to hear the voice. They have to feel exactly what you're feeling in order to get the people to rise up and take action. So let me bring along Clinton, the exceptional conservative. Good afternoon, Ken.
Hello, Annie. It's a great honor to be on your program, and an even more terrific honor to speak with this gentleman who has served our country to the fullest, giving his ultimate for our well-being. I want to thank you so much for doing so. Listen, I have a question for you, sir. After all the years that you served this nation, do you feel it a bit demeaning that the commander-in-chief basically has relegated the health care of U.S. veterans down to a specific number, $17 billion, and that would be sufficient alone to take care of all of you all's needs and to turn the VA around?
Well, you know what? The president, you've got to remember, we've heard stories. This was a man that stood up in front of the whole nation and said, this is no longer a Christian nation. This is no longer our nation, is what I heard. How the heck did he get into office? And everyone is afraid of this guy. He's got a stroke of the pen to write any law that he wants. If you talk about the $17 billion that he's given us, to hire new doctors and stuff, that's not going to change the system. But what he's also done, he's got a health care system for civilians also. And it's as bad. If you think the Veterans Administration is bad, you wait till the government gets a hold of all your records. This is just a preview. And I tell the American people, do you really want what I've got or what these veterans died for? And then all of a sudden to be told you're liars, they're no good, he's making it the story, and then 10 years later they find the paperwork after they destroyed that veteran, if you don't think the Veterans Administration is going to say unsavory things about me on my attack, you're wrong. But with me, I'm not giving up. I don't care what they do. I will do that march, and with one person, with 5,000, with 100, with two people, I'm not letting these guys go. Because
now,
I want
when
to
do
change
plan
the
on
system.
Doing, when
my
do you plan on
children,
doing the march?
Well, I've got a bunch of tests coming up with Moffitt, and I would like to start in 2 or 3 weeks and put the schedule out, and that will be every VA hospital, starting with Lincoln's Hospital in Togus, Maine, that the Eastern Seaboard will have a schedule down to St. Petersburg, hit every regional office, and swing back up to the southern states and back, and my kids have instructions that if I die on the road, take care of me, but keep continuing the march with my ashes or with my body, and you deliver it to Congress. And you say, please, for God's sake, help us. Change the system. And any Republicans or Democrats, and I know there's conservative Democrats out there, please let us have our country back. Please help the military. Please help the American people. And stop what you're doing. Just stop.
I'm going to be getting in contact with you directly and giving you my contact information, and so that whatever I can do on my end here, I want to help. And I'm sure every last one I speak on behalf of.
During the last radio station I did, he wants to fly out on the beginning of the march. And anybody who flies out, I'll get you a cup of coffee. How's that?
All right.
Or you can meet me in your state. And you can meet me in your state. And we will have every VA regional office. So if something happens to me, another veteran can pick it up. This isn't just for me. This is for all these veterans. So I want somebody to pick it up. And if somebody else dies on the road to Congress, pick him up and deliver him. I mean, I think we can have a voice here. And I think we could really strongly change things.
All right, Jason had another question. He came up with a really good one. Go ahead, Jason.
Okay, go ahead, Jason. Thank you.
Hey, Sergeant, do we have names and phone numbers of these people? If you do, can you send them to the group of hosts that are within this chat? I'm sure the exceptional conservative, for one, over in D.C., he's quite animated on his program for good reason about this issue, and so am I. I have a grandfather who served in World War II, and if he ever got treated this way, I would be madder than hell, as they would say, to want to take care of this. And I like phone number names and phone numbers, and so we can press the VA directly about this and ask them, you're treating these soldiers this way, the people who served our country, and we want to forcefully, as President Obama said in one of his presidential campaigns, he says we need to force change in this country. Well, we need to force change over in the VA. And then my second question is, speak of the president. He's speaking in the White House press room as we speak on the national networks and on cable news right now. If you had a chance to speak to the president, what would you tell him currently about the situation?
Well, there's just in the current situation, you asked a good question. All I want out of this is to change the system so that our first responders and our military, our Coast Guard, our National Guard, I don't need the respect, but if I get hurt and I need to be taken care of, to take care of us, don't make it undaunting for us. And don't tell us, and don't get, if we have a misdiagnosis, that we're able to go somewhere and we're able to sue that doctor and put it on his record. Because there's no excuse for these veterans that died in Arizona. But it's not Arizona, it's everywhere. This is just the tip of the iceberg. That's what I would ask him. You know, you really want to do something for us? Don't hide anything. Just be in the open. You know, the worst thing you can do is, you know how one lie turns into another lie? Keep it open. Even if it's the worst thing you could ever say to the American people, don't lie to us.
No, that's the worst part about this whole administration. It has nothing but lies throughout it. And what's going on is I spoke about this a number of years ago where the VA had a backlog of cases, and they had the floors in the VA office that these files were in were actually starting to buckle from the weight of all these files, these cases, that have not yet been even processed. And some of them go back as far as 10 years. The VA was not, the computer system they had was not adequate to handle it all. And if this was happening for decades, you know, why is it as a surprise to us now? You know, here we are, we're the sons, the daughters, the wives, the mothers and grandmothers of these veterans. Why is it that we are completely unaware of what's going on and we're not doing anything?
Well, I know
the
answer
thing.
To that.
Go ahead.
Well, the answer is the military, we're taught not to complain about this, to go public. You can't be political. You can't go to the press.
You know what?
He
just said it. That's why we don't fight. At first, I was the same way. Okay, this is the way it is. I can't fight. Okay, this is the way it is. Finally, I took an old standard thing and I said, I'm getting mad. And I'm going to finally say something. But you're correct in that. No soldier, that's what we do, is don't speak out. Keep your place. And that's why I think that's primarily what's happened to where we are now. Do we need a civilian organization to monitor the VA? Or is this new head of the VA going to come in and clean house? That's something we have to see.
He doesn't even have military experience, from what I gather, right? Wasn't he with Procter & Gamble for 30-something years?
No, he's a graduate of West Point also.
Yeah, he served in the Air Force, and I think he got out at the rank of, I believe it was major. I have his bio here. As a captain. He was a United States Army captain. Okay, that's what it was.
What
so
I've
yeah,
learned here
serve.
Is politics is deadly.
When I tomorrow?
Yeah, he is.
If you don't play politics,
you
play by their games. It's very deadly. And that's what I'm learning real fast.
I just want to let the other hosts that are listening, that are here on the line, I've got everyone's mic open, so please be careful about the background noise. But what I do have to do is take a 1-minute, 5-second break in order to get paid. So I'll be right back, 1 minute, 5 seconds, and here
Southern
we go.
Sense is now being sponsored by Audible Books. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of these online books, you know. I don't like, you know, having to download them and sit in front of a computer or my smartphone or something and read. But I checked out Audible, and I was amazed. If you go to audibletrials.com/Southern Sense, you get a 30-day free trial. Now, I tried it out, and I wanted, because you get a free book if you download, and I decided, what book am I going to download? So I thought, what do I not have time to read that I can listen to and be enriched? And I downloaded the Federalist Papers. Now, this is a 3-volume, 9 hours of recording, $30-some-odd value I got for free. So check out audibletrial.com/Southern Sense and download your own free book.
All right. I want to welcome everyone that is listening in to Southern Sense, which is on Pundit Press, Kinetic Hi-Fi out of Charleston, South Carolina, Radio Patriot Network, Tea Party Community, and Ghost Fighter Radio. And I want to say hi to Sweet Sue, who's been posting the show up in Twitter, and she is an angel. She's been listening in, so I want to thank her. We've got as a special guest Sergeant Davis, and I've been posting in the chat room the petition, which is at www.gofundme.com/BLTOLH. It's also on our show page, so please click on it. Pass it around onto your social networks up at Facebook, Tea Party Community, Twitter, wherever you can, and let's help Sergeant Davis get the funds he needs for his treatment, because what the VA has done to them is an absolute tragedy, and we're all going to support him on this march. So I'm trying to go down the line so everyone gets a little bit chance to ask their questions. Go ahead, Kel. I think you had a question as well as my friend. Kel.
Oh, thank you, Annie. First of all, Sergeant Davis, I'm honored to speak with you, and I want to thank you for your service. I hail from Canada, and I am the daughter of a World War II veteran who also fought in the Korean conflict and did peacekeeping duties in Cyprus. So believe me, I am very, very proud of my heritage, and I have a comment, and then I have a question. My comment very briefly is, I was listening to a radio program, and the radio host said that he doesn't thank the veterans for their sacrifices and their service, and which really shocked me because his father is a retired Marine. But he says, no, why should I thank them? You know, it's just a job. And I was so flabbergasted. I have never been back to that program. When I see a veteran, I go out of my way to thank them for their service because it's a calling. And you are frontline workers keeping us safe. If it weren't for the soldier, we would be in chaos. So, sir, I do take off my hat to you. Now, my question now is that I was listening to a radio program not too long ago, and they were discussing ghost doctors, and that the veterans were being sent to doctors who were in fact retired. And I'm wondering, you brought up that young soldier that was shot in the head. I'm wondering if he was sent to a ghost doctor, and thus he was it was put in his file that he didn't keep his appointment. Why are the veterans being sent to ghost doctors, retired doctors? This flabbergasts me. And now I'll mute myself and let you answer that, sir.
I just want to mention that someone's got a lot of noise in the background. So please, if you're going to be making some noise, please mute yourself, and then that way we can keep you live, okay? I appreciate that. No, go ahead, Sergeant Davis.
That I don't understand. I've gone to a civilian doctor maybe 12 years ago because I had a blood issue, and that was due to military service. Well, I missed one appointment. In attempts to find out, they said I was not uncooperative, but non-something or other. And it found out that these were people working with the VA. And the best thing he could have done was put something into my records saying I missed an appointment and I was non-compliant. That's their famous thing. Veteran was non-compliant. So I took him to task, and I said, wait a minute, your nurse asked me to come back the following day. Why would you ever put non-compliant? So the situation is, yes, they're sending it to these ghost doctors, and some of these doctors work for the VA, and they'll put in their records that the veterans are non-compliant. That I don't understand. I think now that the veteran may be able to get outside references and outside and pick his own doctor, he may get care. But the veteran, I don't want to see the Veterans Administration destroyed. They're fabulous hospitals. They're fabulous personnel in there. They have high technology. I'm trying to get into the TIL program, and I've offered the VA that if this kills me, why not join the research that could heal cancer? Rather than fight me, be the hero. Be the hero for us veterans. You know, that's what they're there for. You know, we come to you because we're hurting, and they can be the hero. They can save veterans rather than kill veterans. But as far as your grandfather serving World War II in the Korean War, I admire him because those were one hell of a wars. And anyone who thinks that we do nothing, we work 24/7. We're called out at any time. And I have served in combat, and I have served in non-combat from special forces to nuclear weapons. I wish to God a person like that would serve with me one day to see what we do and what we give up. I mean, we're on station 24/7. We give up our lives for our nation. Some of it, it is a job, but some of it is not a job.
And, you know, until someone shoots at you and then call it just a job.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
And what's concerning me now is young people that are conservative don't want to join. And it's a fabulous outfit. And throwing out officers, and this isn't just officers they're throwing out. They're throwing out senior NCOs 10, 15 years in. And these are the caliber people that have been trained to train the young soldiers. So internally, I feel we're being destroyed.
Now they're doing
they're actually destroying us all from the inside. And what really bothers me is that I'm only second-generation American. And my one set of grandparents
you're an American.
From, I am American first and foremost. One set came from Germany, the other set came from Italy. And in my family, my great-grandfather was in World War I. My father served as occupying troops in Germany in World War II. My uncle on my mother's side, he served in a MASH unit in Korea. I was married to a Marine gunny. And I may not have served, but I was a New York City cop. So I understand working side by side with these men and women that had served in the uniform. You're talking about a different caliber of person. And the hardest thing is for a lot of these guys, when they are separated from the service, you know, trying to get a normal civilian life together. And then that's one of the reasons why so many are homeless. And then to have to deal with the frustrations with the VA. Yeah, and then you ask, well, why is the suicide rate so high? What you guys have to go through once you get back stateside and what you have to be put up with and simply told to shut up and stand down.
It's enormous and it's undone.
It blows my mind.
What I'm trying to get after now is the current people that are dying, that have misdiagnosis, that are dying and can't get help. Because I think what the VA is saying to me is, well, if we pay a cost of a cancer treatment on the outside, you're going to die anyway, so it's a waste of money. That's the way I take it. It's a waste to spend money on you, Sergeant Davis, because it may not save you. Now, that's what I don't understand, is why am I, as a combat vet, a first responder, a waste? And this goes for police officers and firemen. I get police officers who are stating to me now, have you seen the changes in this country in the last 10 years?
What are they looking at?
Yeah, I mean, even police officers. Go to the airport. Everyone's dressed in black with machine guns. And I asked one in Boston just recently saying, who are you protecting? And he couldn't answer me. I mean, who are you really protecting? Why are you standing here with a machine gun all dressed in black? I don't get it.
It's not the same force I was on. It's amazing. It's not the same force that I was on because I was in NYPD, and first and foremost, we were there to protect and serve the public. And
yeah, but not any longer. You're a it's a militia force? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
And all your police officers will tell you that. They're no longer police officers. They're a militia force. They're getting tanks. And I grew up with police officers, serve, protect, have a coffee with, how are you doing? And that was the same thing in New York, but it's all changed.
Let's remember one very important thing about the VA, and that is the doctors, most of them are there for two reasons. One is the VA pays for their medical schooling, or they can't afford the insurance for malpractice because they're such bad doctors that they have to go to the VA to get it, and this is why we have class.
As I mentioned, I took them to task in February, and one day prior, it was canceled because of that. These doctors are protected from lawsuits, so you can't get to the core, and I agree with that. How do we get to the core? And they are bad doctors, and they're bad nurses. And how many times have you heard nurses killing veterans because, well, they're wasted anyway?
And they call them mercy killers.
Yeah, and I think that Dana had a question. Dana, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't have a question as much as a comment. You know, we've been discussing this whole situation today, and I think it comes down to one thing. We see corruption everywhere. It's rampant across the country. It is in government service. It's in corporations, private lives. I think what we're seeing is merely a symptom of that. What we're talking about is the moral decay of a once great nation. And I think when you get down to the point that you can't take care of those who have laid it all on the line for you, I think it says just how far down the rabbit hole we've gotten. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not upset today, and if you're not ready to take action, and if you're not ready to go do something, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how much more it is going to take to get people angry enough to start going out and making a real difference, and that is getting out, getting in these people's faces, as the president likes to say, and make your voice heard. I am a son of a Korean War veteran. I have two sons who served in the U.S. Air Force, and I have a wife who served in the U.S. Army. And I can tell you what these people go through. I can tell you what a deployment is like. And I can tell you that promises are made, and as a moral people, we need to keep those promises. And Andy, right now I'm so mad I really can't say anything else.
Andy, I'm going to jump in here real quick, and I want to come back to the gentleman we were talking about at the beginning of the show, Kevin Keller, and I want to kind of detail his story a little bit. And I want to, and then we can go back down our list, and we can get everybody's opinion about this. But his story really gets to the heart of what our veterans are going through today, especially a lot of our veterans that are committing suicide. Kevin Keller actually took his own life 1 week ago today, and what he did
Dan, Dan, hang on just a second, because Sergeant Davis said he wanted to go. So, Sergeant Davis,
okay. I would like to listen to you guys.
Very much.
I would just make one more point. I just kind of wish I would have talked to this guy that was – I want to break down and cry now. I wish I would have gotten the hold of this guy that wanted to commit suicide, because I really think that we can do something. And anybody listening to this program, if you're going to commit suicide, I'll give you my phone number and my email offline and give it out to someone. I'll do my best. I have some congressmen that will help. I have some other people that will try to help. But please don't commit suicide because of what the VA is doing to you. We're going to change it. And thank you for having me. I figured I'd have
time.
But if you would take my email and phone number offline, because I know some of your sponsors and guests there wanted to contact me about the march and what we're going to be doing. I'd be glad to answer them personally if they email me.
Absolutely, and like I said, I will call you right after the show so I can give you my information and we can swap everything and we can get it out to everyone.
Great, thank you.
And Annie Annie, you can give Sergeant Davis my personal phone number as well.
Thank you, ladies
and
gentlemen.
All right, thank
you, Cam. And you know what? You're doing a great job. But get these other veterans and please put it out. Please don't commit suicide because we are changing it. And anybody who wants to do that march with me, it'll be online, and I'll make sure everyone gets it. I'll even advertise on radio, and I won't leave anybody out. So please don't commit suicide. Join me on the march, okay? All right, you guys have a wonderful day.
Wow.
Call me back for that number and email, and I'll give it. You can give it to your guests. How's that?
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Bless you, and thank
anytime.
You.
Anytime. Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm sorry to cut you off like that, Dan, but
Go ahead. What an absolute fascinating guest and story he had. But I want to go back to Kevin Keller for a second, and this will underscore a lot of what Dave was talking about before he left. This will take just a couple of minutes, and of course, Kevin Keller, he took his life 1 week ago today. He pulled up at 9 o'clock. He was a U.S. Navy veteran. He pulled up in front of the Wytheville, Virginia VA clinic, and he walked across and stood in front of the outpatient door. He was sick and tired of being in pain. He pulled out a gun. He shot a hole in the office door. He aimed the barrel at his head and ended his hurt once and for all. In a letter he left at the home of his best friend, Marty Austin, Keller apologized for breaking into Austin's house and taking his gun. In the letter, Keller said, "Marty, sorry I broke into your house and took your gun to end the pain." The note said, "FUVA, can't take it anymore." Wytheville Police Chief Rick Arnold said that at 9:03 p.m. on Friday, someone at Advanced Auto Parts across the street from the VA reported hearing someone banging on the clinic door, followed by two shots. The police chief said that the police chief did confirm that Keller was a patient at the VA, but he could not comment as to why. The VA Medical Center released a statement that said that their staff extends our sincere condolences to the family and friends of this veteran. due to the privacy regulations, were unable to provide any information related to the care and treatment plan of this specific veteran. Our many successes in treatment does not ease the loss of any veteran. We will continue to offer the best medical and mental care available. According to a February press release on the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs website, Keller was not alone in his fight against chronic pain. Quote, the veterans enrolled in the VA healthcare system suffer from high rates of chronic pain, the release said. In this past October, the VA initiated a multifaceted approach to reduce the use of opiates among Americans veterans using VA health clinics. The Opiate Safety Initiative is an effort to improve the quality of life for hundreds of thousands of veterans suffering from chronic pain, the VA said in release. Keller served on the USS Independence in the early 1980s. According to friend John Andreas, he was a great man. He worked the dangerous job of aviation boatswain, playing a major role in launching and recovering Navy aircraft on the ship. This whole deal is sad, Andreas said about Keller's death. To make a statement like that, to kill himself in the parking lot of the VA, he was basically telling them this is senseless. Austin said his friend of nearly 30 years was usually happy and carefree and had been in a downward spiral for more than 2 years, ever since VA doctors declined to prescribe him medication for pain he suffered after a stroke about 11 years ago. Quote, I realize there are people in this world hooked on drugs, but the needed pain medicine, He went to the VA clinic in Salem looking for help. He fired doctors and even fired the VA and got Humana insurance to go to different doctors, but medical records follow you, and he had just had enough. I'm not even mad at him because I know he tried and tried, Austin said of his friend. According to Austin, the 52-year-old Keller could find no relief for his pain in his right leg and foot without medication. Sometimes he turned to the street for pills, but it was too expensive. He was not addicted, Austin said. He needed it. Still visibly distraught, Austin said Keller obviously thought about his suicide and left letters in his home and his friends and family and two VA nurses. They were harsh letters, he said, of the letters to the nurses. In one letter, Austin said Keller wrote that he didn't want the medication. He needed it, and if he had received the medication, he would still be alive. Austin said his friend told him that the medical personnel told him Keller that narcotics would shorten his life and they wanted him to live longer. He told them he preferred quality of life over a longer life so he would be able to do things. Austin said that Keller.
I think we just lost Dan. I think Dan's phone call had just. But I'll finish up
Body
what he
cell
was
phone
reading.
Coverage down in Texas, unfortunately.
it's the trolls coming after Dan. Anyway, he said, Austin said he plans to have a small memorial service for his friend. Then in November, he will return to his Keller's hometown of Stafford and bury the cremated remains of a friend's memorial garden. He said Keller has a son in Florida and a sister in Colorado. Austin, who works at ABB in Bland, said Keller moved to the area about 3 years ago. He lived in Syracuse. A printer by trade, Keller continued to work in the Fredericksburg area for about 7 years after his stroke. Anders said he figured out how to do everything with his left hand. Eventually, Keller had to go on disability. He moved to Bland County because of the lower cost of living, and he knew I could take care of him, Austin said. He said Keller had been depressed and angry for a while, but he had no indication that Keller was suicidal. The pair used to speak to one another every day, but after Austin started the night shift at ABB, they only spoke a couple of times a week. Austin said he last spoke to Keller several days before his death. After Keller died, Austin learned that his friend had recently called a suicide hotline and had an appointment at the VA Mental Department in Salem on Wednesday, July 30th, 5 days after his death. Before his stroke, Keller loved riding motorcycles, and at the time of his death, friends were gathering parts to build him a special trike that he could drive with his left hand, Austin said. And he loved doing woodwork. That was his passion. Austin added that he made everything from picture frames to poker tables. There wasn't anything he could make. The trike is close to completion, Andre said. He was going to be riding soon, but he was in just too much pain. This was written by Mary Rothrick with the WytheNews.com. And this is an example of what is going on out there, or what our veterans are going through. Myself being disabled, I know what constant pain is like. I know how you end up having to fight it. I know how it leaves you frustrated and angry. I know when you go in, I'm blessed, I am lucky that I have a good doctor that I can sit down with and talk to. I don't have to go to a VA. I don't have to go to any of these clinics. But these men and women go through this day by day. They get stuff put in their medical files just to prevent them from having treatment. And then the VA staff and management get bonuses because they cut down on the number of treatments, and now they put down false appointments. They're saying people are showing up for appointments when there is no appointment. They're saying that they have an appointment scheduled when it's still 6 months to a year down the road. The blatant and flagrant fraudulent actions within the VA, people should be locked up. They should be marching these people out of the VA clinics and hospitals in handcuffs. Every last one that forged a document with false information, every last one that put in a false diagnosis should be arrested for forgery, for fraud. Every last one that shredded documents should be arrested for tampering with federal records. Each and every one of these, a federal crime and a charge for each and every instance that it's been done. This is not being done. No one is screaming for heads to roll. What? All right, Schuczynski resigned? Well, he should have been walking out of Congress in handcuffs. And we got Dan back. I'm sorry, that's how angry I am. My father, and I keep on saying this, my father probably died at least a year earlier than he should have because the VA would not give him an appointment for 6 months. It took my mother kicking and screaming to get it cut down to 3 months. These appointments, by the VA's own standard, should be within 14 days. And it should not even be 14 days. It should be within that same week, within 3 days.
Annie, you know, for everybody that says and laughed at those of us in the conservative media that were pointing out that Obamacare would lead to death panels and that, you know, managed care of this sort under Obamacare would lead to, you know, people's lives being cut short. We are actually seeing that today in our own VA system. We are seeing that. We are seeing death panels in our VA system. We are witnessing that today.
Absolutely. Yeah, can I speak to this, Annie, a little bit?
Jason Miller, okay.
I love to speak about this because, you know what, we have a segment on our program every Thursday on the Evan Miller Report, and it's called our Global Socialism segment, and we go over every week on the threat of global socialism and how this is being, how global socialism is being spread throughout the world. And this is what is happening right now with the Veterans Administration. This is what is what the United Nations wants to happen. This is part of stealth and deception. And many of you who do not know, Orlene Kurla, she is our education correspondent, and she occasionally comes on the air. She wrote a great book. It's called By Stealth and Deception, The Transformation and Its Parallel into the European Union. This is already happening in the European Union, and I hear horror stories off the British news every day of just old people, elderly people in nursing homes losing their lives because of mistreatment by nursing home staff, don't even want to go over to the hospital and try to set up an appointment. And on top of it, when hospital staff have to take a vacation with the NHS over in England, I heard a report yesterday, it costs British taxpayers 12 some millions of dollars. No wonder health costs are so high. So this right here of what's happening with the Veterans Administration, this is already happening in the European Union. We are starting to get the drip of what is happening over in the European Union. And guess what? Suicide, this is what the Obama administration wants to happen. They may not say it publicly, but look, This is what the United Nations, this is what the administration wants to happen. They want these veterans to kill themselves because, you know what? They would rather take care of the young people and get rid of the old people because the old people, they're not going to do anything for this nation. This is their opinion. The elderly people, they're a burden amongst others, and they will put that opinion into young adults' minds and say, hey, your family member, it's old. They're a burden to society. They're a burden to us. You should be ashamed of yourself that your elderly parent is ill, and you should take their life or assist them in their suicide. And that is starting to become the general opinion in the social norms in this nation. And that's why we have Obamacare here as it is, and why President Obama is having so many issues with Obamacare right now is because this Veterans Administration issue has come out, and it has hit him in the teeth. And people are starting to wake up to the fact and say, okay, Mr. President, if you can't even control the Veterans Administration, take care of our military veterans, how do you expect to take care of the American people with the Affordable Care Act?
All right, Jason, you hit it exactly on the head. Now, I read both bills, the Senate and the House bill, long before Nancy Pelosi said you got to pass the bill to see what's in it. If you go on to southern-sense.com, you can click on my blog, scroll down through the archives, and if you go back to 2009, between July and October, I wrote numerous blogs about what is inside the Obamacare bills. And I talked about death panels back then. I talked about rationing. I talked about the one-payer system. I talked about the unconstitutionality of Obamacare back in 2009. Now that we see this scandal breaking out all over the place, everyone's going, oh, my God, that's what Obamacare looks like. Well, hello, folks. When we're out there and we're saying the sky is falling, the sky really is falling. Now, May 23rd, 2014, National Review wrote the very same thing. Larry Kudlow wrote Blame Socialism, Not Kaczynski. And he talks all about the very same thing, the one-payer system and communism. This is what it is. It's bringing communism back into the fold. Now, maybe this is a godsend that this VA scandal has broken now at this time, because now is the time we have to push our elected officials in Congress to defund Obamacare. We should have the VA system where they have a simple card and it gets paid through the VA fund and they can go to whatever doctor they want to, whatever hospital they want to. Give them the same plan that Congress and the Senate has. You know, why is it what is good for the elite is not good for the peons? Isn't that unconstitutional, unequal treatment across the book, the thing? Now, it's funny because, Professor, you'll appreciate this. I have a book that contains the selected writings of our founding fathers, and I happen to have been sitting reading, and I just picked up Joseph Warren, a address he delivered in Boston, March 5th, 1772. And when I read it, I said, oh, my God, this is exactly what is happening today. He warned about the elite no longer forgetting what they were supposed to be there for. They talk about the fall of Rome, how originally when Rome was built, it had good intentions. The Senate was there to help control government and to protect the people. And they became corrupt. And thus, the whole of Rome fell. And I'm not describing it properly. So if you don't mind, I'm going to try to read this. And this is delivered Boston, March 5th, 1772, Joseph Warren. When we turn over the historic page and trace the rise and fall of states and empires, the mighty revolutions which have so often varied the face of the world strike our minds with solemn surprise, and we are naturally led to endeavor to search out the causes of such astonishing changes. That man is formed for social life is an observation which, upon our first inquiry, presents itself immediately to our view, and our reason approves that wise and generous principle which actuated the first founders of civil government, an institution which hath both its origin in the weakness of individuals and hath for its end the strength and security of all. And so long as the means of effecting this important end are thoroughly known and religiously attended to,
Government is one of the richest blessings to mankind and ought to be held in the highest veneration. In young and new formed communities, the grand design of this institution is most generally understood and the most strictly guarded. The motives which urged to the social compact cannot be at once forgotten, and that equality, which is remembered to have subsisted so lately among them, prevents those who are clothed with authority from attempting to invade the freedom of their brethren. Or, if such attempt be made, it prevents the community from suffering the offender to go unpunished. Every member feels it to be his interest and knows it to be his duty to preserve, inviolate, the Constitution on which the public safety depends. And he is equally ready to assist the magistrate in the execution of the laws and the subject in defense of his right. And so long as this noble attachment to a Constitution founded on free and benevolent principles exists in full rigor, in full vigor, in any state, that state must be flourishing and happy. It is this noble attachment to a free Constitution which raised ancient Rome from the smallest beginnings to the brightest summit of happiness and glory to which she arrived. And it was the loss of this which plunged her from that summit into the black gulf of infamy and slavery. It is this attachment which inspired her senators with wisdom. It was this which glowed in the breast of her heroes. It was this which guarded her liberties and extended her dominions, gave peace at home, and commanded respect abroad. And when this decayed, her magistrates lost their reverence for justice and laws and degenerated into tyrants and oppressors, her senators forgetful of their dignity and seduced by base corruption, betrayed their country, her soldiers regardless of their relation to the community, and urged only by the hopes of plunder and rapine, unfeelingly continued the most flagrant enormities and hired to the trade of death. With relentless fury, they perpetrated the most cruel murders, whereby the streets of Rome were drenched with her noblest blood. Thus the empress of the world lost her dominions abroad, and her inhabitants, dissolute in their manners, at last became contented slaves, and she stands today the scorn and derision of nations, and a monument of this eternal truth, that public happiness depends on a virtuous and unshaken attachment to a free Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, 1772, and it's happening today. And I've got to take another quick 1 minute, 5 second break to try to raise some money. I'll be back in 1 minute, 5 seconds. While here we take a very short break, let me tell you about our sponsor, Audible. Audible are books that you can download online, and you can sit back and don't have to read. You can hear it play in the background. I checked out the free trial, and the free trial you can check out is at audibletrial.com/southernsense. And the book I chose to download by free trial was The Federalist Papers, and I can't wait, because when I sit in my office and I'm working, I like something playing in the background. Normally it's, you know, listening to some other talk show or listening to some music. But this way, I can be enriched and have something. I don't have time to sit down and read hour after hour. I got over 9 hours of recording of over $30 value of the Federalist Papers as a free sample. Just trying out audibletrial.com/7 cents. Check them out. You'll be pleased.
All right, and we're back, and we also have a couple of guests joining us, and I assume that's Kel's dogs. We have an awesome...
No, nope, not mine. No, this one is blowing logs behind me. If you're going to hear dogs and and it's going to be a snoring dog.
and I don't have dogs.
This is Orlean in Santa Rosa, California. I have one, but it's a pug dog, and he doesn't bark.
Before we bring you on, Orlean, I just wanted to make a comment on what I just read. When you think about it, he just said everything that's happening today Obamacare, the NSA, the IRS. Jason, you spoke to now police officers that no longer protect and serve the public, but now become boot checks for, you know, whoever is sitting in power. This is what's happening, and he predicted it in 1772. We fought the revolution because of it. Why haven't we learned from history? And with that, I'm going to bring in Orlene. I'm going to pronounce your name wrong. Coel?
It's pronounced Kerle, but that's close enough. You have to be a German to know how to say it.
I'm half German. Nein, sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Oh, sehr gut. Ich kann auch Deutsch sprechen.
All right, and Jason said you happen to be an expert on this subject with the VA.
Well, I have been researching what's been going on in our United States for the past 100 years. I wrote a book called By Stealth and Deception, and I truly believe what was just read is very true. You want to bring down a nation, you have to bring down their military. And I think this is definitely Obama's attack on the military. We see what's happening to our vets. They're not even being treated in their hospitals. And, of course, they are becoming very discouraged and committing suicide. And they come back from war with this post-traumatic stress disorder that if they do have such a thing, they're not even allowed to own a gun anymore. And who would be the best person capable of protecting their families against an out-of-control government? It would be a former vet who really knows how to handle a gun. Well, they're not even allowed to use one. So it's truly an attack on all sides on our military.
Yeah, and it happens to be a real shame. And, you know, the VA is no longer, well, hopefully we can get it repaired, but they're not taking care of our guys. And when I was putting my notes together, thinking about all the different organizations that I've had on as guests that really do help the vets and really do make a difference, I was surprised. And I came up with an impressive list. And maybe we, like I said before, we should take all this out of the VA. Just give these guys cards that they can go wherever they feel, and they have the same privacy that we are supposed to have. You know, we all have to say that when we go to the doctor's office, we have to sign this privacy statement, and the doctor's not supposed to discuss with anyone. Well, Obamacare, of course, you know, negates that. But bring back those privacy and allow the vets to enjoy the same privacy that we do. I mean, they fought for our rights, but yet we deny them the right to free speech, a free association, of the right to bear arms. And I'm just going over some of these organizations. I'm going to just read a bunch of them out loud so that those listening in, pass them around. I will put this up on the Southern Sense show page, which is southern-sense.com, all these organizations in a single list that they can click on and go to if they want help. We have heartsongsforvets.org, which was just a guest last week, homewithheroes.org, we had on just a few months ago, honorflight.org, that sends World War II vets over to Normandy and around the nation to various events and monuments, the PTSD.org that we've had on a few times, GregMarisStudios.net, where he donates a lot of his proceeds to the veterans, TalkingWithHeroes.com, the MVPProject.org, which is a military voter project to help protect their voting rights, the IndependenceFund.org that does Lieutenant Dan Band Weekend here in South Carolina, the Gary Sinise Foundation.org. I had Gary Sinise on a few times. And HealingHeroes.org. That is just within a two-year period. But I will put these up and let them know that someone like Mr. Keller did not need to have suicide. There are people out there to help them. And we will be talking again with Sergeant Dave Davis and getting that information out to everyone. I've been putting up his petition up in the chat room. So please go to it and spread it around on all of your social networks. Help him get the funds he needs for his medical treatment. And I'm going to tell it for those listening in, www.gofundme.com/BLTOL8, all lowercase letters. It's BLTOL and the number 8. I think I'm out of breath here, Dan. I think I actually outspoke you.
Just need to get you a nice recycle bin and tossing. But you know, the thing is that's paying us to go door to door. Because we lose money on first class stamps. So yeah. So it's that gentleman.
All right, I don't know who someone forgot to mute their mic. So
oh, I'm
no
sorry.
Door to door
the mic covered.
radio.
A gentleman from World War II just came up to the truck. I mean, I'm in my mail truck. That's why you heard the dogs earlier.
Hey, Annie, I'm going to come back.
The mystery of the dogs.
Yes. Annie, I'm going to come back in here real quick, and we got 19 minutes left, and we'll get back around to the rest of our guests. But I want to make a point here. There's a lot of people that are listening to this show today, and they're saying, you know what, all of this stuff that you're talking about is just a bunch of conspiracy nonsense. You know, the VA is not purposely trying to kill our veterans. The Obama administration is not trying to do this. There's no such thing as death panels. You know, Obamacare is the greatest thing, since sliced bread, et cetera. But I can tell you right now, I'm as anti-conspiratorial as they come. I'm as anti Alex Jones as they come. But let me tell you something. There's folks like me and Jason Miller. Jason and I are hardcore news guys. I've been reporting on this. On this type of stuff and the possibility of it since President Obama was elected in 2008. Jason reports on this stuff daily on his show. Scott Osborne, Kell, the Underground Professor, Ken McClinton, Orlean, the conservative media, we report on this stuff on a daily basis. Folks, this is not a conspiracy. Our veterans are dying from the lack of care that they're getting from our VA system. We have our veterans are committing suicide. This is not a conspiracy, folks. This is real, and it is happening. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing with the VA, it will be Obamacare will be that on steroids if it continues to grow and grow and grow.
I'd like to chip in here. And ask Orlean, because Orlean has wrote the book on this. She wrote a thick book on this by Stealth and Deception. And I'd like Orlean to speak to how the United Nations, through President Obama, using President Obama as their mouthpiece, is trying to take over this nation and change the social norms in this nation.
That is very true. I have a huge chapter on how the United Nations got started and what their objectives are, and of course they're using so many other groups to bring forth those objectives. And I truly believe that Obama, deep down, has those same objectives. He was raised by a communist mother, communist grandparents. His mentor was a communist man in Hawaii, and he truly does not have the best interests of our nation at heart in any way. I think what is happening with the illegals being allowed to flood across our borders is just one more way. If you destroy the borders of a nation, you destroy the nation. And of course, he wants to destroy our military, and especially patriotic military. It would be fine if we have a mercenary military like other countries that have no allegiance, no patriotism to their country, are willing to turn on American citizens. And I think that's what he's hoping to do, is to get rid of all of the patriotic vets and military and bring in mercenaries that are willing to turn on their own people, just as the United Nations has soldiers that are willing to turn on any country, and you can see what they're doing in other nations. They're really the ones that are instigating some of the wars that are happening and not protecting the citizens at all.
That is
the whole shame of it, and it's happening before our eyes, and we cannot get people fired up. I mean, we're fired up, but we need the everyday man out there, the one that is watching reality TV, that can tell you who the next American Idol is but doesn't know who the Vice President of the United States is. And we've got to turn around and tell them, hey, listen, do you have someone in your family that served in the military? Ask them what they go through when they go to the VA. You know, don't tune them out. Don't go with them. See what is happening. You know, escort them in there and see for your own. I mean, how many people on the block you live has someone serving in the military? You have to know someone. How many people walk past a veteran and you see them wearing their unit colors or insignia or, you know, says, I'm a World War II vet or something. Have you ever walked up to them, shook their hands, and said, thank you for the service? Now, I'm hearing all this about the VA scandals. How are you being treated in the VA? You know, can I get the word out if you're having problems?
This is what we got to see. The sad thing is to see how many vets are actually out on the streets begging now. They're homeless, and they're in need of handouts. And whenever I see one, I stop my car and give what I can, and I thank them for their service. And I feel so terrible that they are being treated, just as you say, Annie. They gave their life for us, and we're denying them their rights. My father served in the First World War. I come from a very older father, but back in his day when he was dying, the vet hospital was actually a good place and took good care of him. But boy, has that changed in the course of the many, many years since then.
Yeah, and that's the God's honest truth. And it's funny because my father served World War II. He was a veteran. My grandfather, World War I. But my father, when his company had let him go, he lost his health insurance. And he was really upset about that because he's not someone who normally got sick or anything, but he wanted himself and his mother and my mother to be taken care of. At that point, we were all, older children, we weren't too worried about health insurance for us. Anything that happened to us was going to be minor unless we broke a bone or something. And I said, Dad, you're a veteran, aren't you? And he goes, yeah, you know I am. And I says, well, you can get VA benefits. You can see the doctor through the VA, and I believe Mom can get the same benefits through you as your spouse. He was completely unaware of it. And once he did, he was extremely happy until the last, I'd say, 10 years. That's when we saw the VA really taking a nosedive. And I'm sorry. I still will say I believe he could have lived at least another year in quality life had he had the proper treatments when he needed them for his heart. And Jason is right. This is Obamacare, and when Obamacare is fully instituted, it's going to be on steroids. And
it is.
When people finally realize that, hey, listen, we now have the same medical care that they have in England, and why are people Canada coming down here? They're not coming here any longer because now they're going to be facing Obamacare. And I see change all the time.
Funny? And you know what's funny? What's funny, Annie? You mentioned England in all of this. We have people coming down from Canada. We have people crossing the English Channel of all places and coming over to use our healthcare system because they say that the British healthcare system and the Canadian healthcare system is so messed up there and the waiting times are so long, or they can't get an appointment set in, or even the doctors don't even have the right procedures and they're coming to America for procedures. So imagine now that everyone who was coming to us before, now they're going to not have anywhere to go. And you know what's weird? I was inside a doctor's office getting some care for myself at a therapist appointment the other day to handle an old workplace injury the other day. And we got talking to politics, ended up speaking for an hour. And he asked me the simple question, how can we get out to the younger generation? How can we talk about this and get down to their level to talk about this? Because really, when you look at young adults these days, they have their own life in their hands. They don't care about what's going on in D.C. They don't care about what the older generation's doing. So how are we going to talk about this to the older generation? And Orlene, she's a former school teacher, 20-plus year retired school teacher. She taught kids in school. And I'd like everyone in the panel to actually see if we have enough time to speak about this. How can we reach the young adults? Because you know what? It's this younger generation who is going to be able to help the older generation. If we can't get the younger generation on board to help us, then we're not going to go anywhere with us.
Hey, Jason, let me ask you this. Let me ask Jason a question real quick. Jason, you are the younger generation. You're 25 years old, man. what does the older generation need to do to make, what do you think they need to make them more aware in a minute or less, Bud?
Well, I think it has to do a lot with the schools these days. A lot of young kids are going to these college universities, and you know the college university system, some of you do, and I know Orlin can speak to this, that it is very socialist liberal and socialist policies. And kids have been brought up through certain people within the media, the government school system, that coming from the government that are free, that free stuff, you're going to get free stuff, you're going to get a free ride through college, you're going to get a free walker, you're going to get all this free stuff. They've been brainwashed to believe that. We need to go in there and tell them that you know what your college professor is telling you, your liberal college professor is telling you, and what people are telling you, that all this free stuff is free. It's not free, and it's going to come back to bite you later, and you're going to have to pay for it later.
The problem is, Jason, how do you get into the universities? You know, they won't even let us on campus to speak. It's very sad. I did want to share one very amazing statement, and this was in the latest book that I've written about Common Core. It's about the curriculum, and this is a quote. I want you to guess who said it after I give it to you. Corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, make them superficial and destroy their ruggedness, get control of all means of publicity, and thereby get the people's mind off their government by focusing their attention on athletics, sexy books and plays, and other trivialities. Divide the people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. Guess who made that statement?
Well, it's either going to be Sal Alinsky or Bill Ayers.
Actually, it was Vladimir Lenin, former director of the Soviet Union.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
definitely the communist jargon, just like you recommended with Sal Alinsky. But this is what they're doing in our nation. They are getting our kids to no longer have any concept of morality, to get them only involved in superficial things and, of course, sex, and you find sex everywhere. And once they get involved in all of this and get hooked on some STD or their lives are in shatters and ruins, they are the least bit interested in anything to do with their government. They could care less what's going on. And that's, I'm afraid, what we see. It takes a moral person to stand up and be self-sustaining and want to keep their government on track and have a free nation. And when those morals are gone, they could care less.
Well, we're down to our last 7 minutes. And, I mean, we could easily go for another 2 hours on this topic. And, Orlin, it was a pleasure to meet you. And I will be giving you a shout because I would like you to have come back on the show. And, Jason, thank you for introducing us to her. And
you're very welcome. And if you don't mind, I'm supposed to be en route to San Francisco to pick up a passport because I have to head off to Canada to visit a friend who is dying before she passes away.
Oh.
So thank you. It was a pleasure to be with all of you, and look forward to being on your show someday, Andy.
It was an honor to meet you, Arlene.
Thank you.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
It was a pleasure. Travel safely, and our prayers will go with you. I think we're running out of time to have everyone make a statement. I want to thank everyone that came in. I just want to say something briefly. There is a change in the younger generation. I was talking to someone last night, and the comment was that even kids today no longer even want to get their driver's license. Growing up, you couldn't wait. Second you turned 16, you wanted to be at the DMV to get your learner's permit so you can get your driver's license. You didn't have a license by the time you were 18. You were a weirdo. You didn't ask mom and dad to drive you around. You didn't ask them to take you out on a date. I mean, my brother, I'm speaking to him on the phone, and my godson's 19 years old, and he still doesn't have a driver's license. My brother says to me, well, I got to go pick up Ryan and his girlfriend and take him to work. And I says, what? And then I have to wait until they call me at 3 in the morning so I can go pick them up. I said, excuse me? I said, you do not answer that phone at 3 in the morning. You let him walk home or take a taxi. Teach him. Teach him personal responsibility. And he's cracking up on me. You know, it's not just
and
the
you know
kids,
what's
it's
funny?
The parents.
You know,
let him being so The parents
are so
permissive.
And what's funny is this younger generation is convinced by technology, Annie. And you know what's funny? I read an article, and it was so profound. They say more kids at the age of 16 years old when they wanted to buy a car, it used to be 20 years ago, that these kids were saving up money, ready to buy their first car. They were ready to go out there. They wanted to do it. Now the kids are more crazy about the latest fad in cell phone technology, getting the latest cell phone, whether it be an iPhone or an Android phone, more concerned about what their friends are texting or the latest photos that are being put up on Instagram or TMZ than they are about buying the car. So Arlene has a point here that had a point when she was on here just a couple minutes ago, that the dumbing down of the nation has begun. They want kids to be watching shows like TMZ, Entertainment Tonight, and all these entertainment shows, and they want them to be more concerned about what Snooki's baby's name is going to be than what's actually going on in this nation.
And that's absolutely true, Jason. And I want to thank you for joining us. And I mean, we didn't get a chance to give everyone. I mean, Ken McClinton, he's got people walking in and out of his office. And sorry about that, Ken, that we had to keep on muting you. you got about 30 seconds. Ken?
Keeping the black man down.
Well, Mike, I apologize for calling you Doc White the other earlier in the show, but now I got the underground guys separated. So I'm sorry. I
thought we all
get everyone in here. But I want to thank Dana Smearman with the Conservative Watchtower for joining us, Josh Bernstein, the Josh Bernstein Show, Ken McClinton, the Exceptional Conservative Show, Jason Miller, the Evan Miller Report, Scott Osborne, Contending for Truth, and, of course, the underground professor, Mike Jones. You can find them either here on Blog Talk Radio or on Pundit Press, and our co-host, and with Pundit Press, Dan Butcher, and Kel, the Red Fox. Kel, do you have a show going on tonight? And do you have one also, Dan?
Yeah, I do. And my guest is going to be Michael Green, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are going to be discussing what is going on with the Israeli Gaza occupiers conflict. And please try to join me, Red Fox Blogger. And Annie and Dan, thank you so very much for, once again, another knocked out of the park, fantastic program. And it was a pleasure to speak with all the panelists this evening, and especially Sergeant Davis.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've got to be honest. I was completely unaware that Sergeant Davis was going to call in, and that is the God's honest truth. I had seen him, I actually heard him up on American Maverick, and he had called in, and it was explaining everything, and I immediately went over to the petition and checked it out, and I bookmarked it, and I check it back every now and then to see how he's doing, and I've been blasting it up on Facebook and Twitter, and gotten him a few more dollars, just a couple hundred more, but I think we can do better, and let's hope that this show will put him over the top with the funds he needs. I'm going to have him back when he gets ready to do his march, and the only communication I had with his family was his son posted something on the Facebook page. If you go to the Southern Sense Facebook page, you see that his son did write and say thank you for, you know, helping his dad. And that was the last I heard. And I never in the wildest dreams would have thought that this brave gentleman would have called in. So it was a pleasant surprise.
It
was fantastic, yeah.
Make a challenge. I'm going to send my radio show, send him $100. Anybody else want to match me?
I'll match him.
That's a good challenge. That is a great challenge. And let's see if we can get the buy out of Ken. Ken, you've got about 10 seconds. And we've got the black man down again. Oh, poor Ken.
Wow. Well, Professor, I'm going to match your challenge as well. We're going to send $100.
There's 300.
All right, well, Oh, my goodness. Let's see who can ever match the donations. So go on to the website, which is www.gofundme.com/BLTOL and the number 8. That's all lowercase letters, BLTOL 8. And I want to thank you. We're down to our last 15 seconds, and want you to come on back on Tuesday. We're going to have another challenger to Lindsey Graham, a Libertarian candidate will be on. And next Friday, Cal, we are going to have Todd Allen Herndon on. Whee! I spoke to him on the phone, and I got his brand new CD in my hand that came in today. So I want to say goodnight. And good night, and God bless, and everyone have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend. Thank you for a fantastic show, everyone. Good night.